Apostle Paul writes. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Can I just pause and say that we could say it right there and just say hallelujah and go home? Hey, I just want to say I'm glad that He died. I'm glad that He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And I'm glad that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It happened just like God said it was going to happen. He died for our sins just like God said it was going to happen. He was buried and He rose again just like God said it was going to happen. And Paul said, that's the gospel. He said, that's what I've been preaching to you, you bunch of Corinthians. And in verse number 5, he said, and that He was seen. In other words, there's some people that can prove that He's risen again. Amen. Said He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. I want to call your attention to verse number 10. The Apostle Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, God, I need You. God, I pray You'd help us this morning. God, have Your will and way in the remainder of this service. Touch Your man of God. Use me, Lord, and help me to preach what You put in my heart. Holy Ghost, I pray You'd search the hearts, men, women, boys, and girls, and have Your will and way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. On Acts chapter 9, we find the historical account of Saul of Tarsus coming down the road of Damascus. He's a religious man. In the book of Philippians in chapter number 3, he gives his pedigree. He gives a list of his religious accomplishments. He had been to the schools. He had learned the laws. He had kept the Jewish customs and the Jewish traditions and the Jewish laws from a young man's age. He had done all the things that the law said he should do. He was religious, but he was lost. And on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter number 9, Saul of Tarsus, the Bible says, hey, he's smitten by a bright light. And he hears a voice crying out to him. And he looks up and he says, Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul, then known as Saul of Tarsus, later had his name changed to Paul the Apostle. On the road to Damascus, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And his life was radically changed, turned upside down, inside out. He was a new creature. He experienced the grace of God working in his life. In 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about the gospel, this great chapter that declares and defines and defends the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of this, he's talking about those that have witnessed and those that have seen the risen Lord. And he talks about how 500 men, he talks about the apostles, and he said, and least of all, me, least of all the apostles. He said, I saw him. Paul said, I saw him. But in the midst of this, he's talking about how he used to persecute the church of God. How he used to be. See, in his religious zeal, he persecuted true Christians. But he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And for a little while, I want to preach on that thought, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I was thinking about Paul and all of his accomplishments. I'll just go over into Philippians chapter number 3 and I'll read you what he wrote about himself. He wrote, if you will, his resume or his pedigree out in Philippians chapter number 3. And he said something like this. He said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. In other words, he's saying, listen, I have got the law taken care of. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for the cause of Christ. He's going down a list of, in the Jewish nation, he wasn't just a Hebrew, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Man, he had the pedigree that would have set him up, but he said, all of that didn't matter, none of that counts for anything, it's all lost. But he said, I am what I am by the good grace of God. Paul, I was thinking about, what were you, Paul? What are you? When he said, I am what I am. Paul, I think by the grace of God, he knew some things. Can I say this? He knew what he had been before he got saved. Hey, how many sitting here this morning, you know what you used to be? You may not be what you're going to be, but thank God you're not what you used to be. Amen. He could go back into Philippians 3 and he could give that pedigree. He could talk about all the things that he had done, but he had not had an experience with the grace of God until that road to Damascus experience. He knew that in his self-righteousness he was unworthy. He knew that in his own good he was not worthy of any goodness. He knew that he was just like that prodigal son. He was doing it his way, but he needed to go the Father's way. He knew that he was religious, but lost. Can I say to you, we live in a southern culture. We live in what we call the Bible Belt. There's many of people that would classify themselves as Christian. They would call themselves Christian. But my friend, just going to church doesn't make you a Christian no more than sitting in a garage makes you an automobile. And just living in the Bible Belt doesn't make you a Christian. Just having parents who are Christian, just reading the Bible. Can I say, hey, just because you're an American does not mean you're a Christian. Paul knew what he had been. He said in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He knew what he was. He knew that even in his religious state, in his best days, the best that he did, he knew that he was lost. But he said, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. He knew he was not what he used to be. He knew not only that he was not what he had been, but Paul knew how he had been saved. When you list that list of pedigree that Paul talked about in Philippians 3, you could stack him up beside anybody in the Jewish law and anybody, and you'd say, man, if anybody's got it, Paul's got it. You know, like there's a lot of Baptists that go around, they got their hair cut short, they wear their dress a certain length, they don't wear a certain thing, they wear this, they think that they've got they go to church every Sunday, they do this, they sing this song, they read their Bible, they pray this many minutes a day, and they think because they don't do this, and they do that, and they don't do this, and they don't do this, they think they're okay. The Bible just still says in Isaiah that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Oh, it's good. It's good that when you're saved, you don't do some things and you do some things. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But if you're counting on that to count as your salvation, honey, you're on your way to hell. He knew why he was saved. Paul knew that it wasn't any of his righteousness that he done. Remember, he talked about the good things that he done. And he said, I count it all but loss. He said, the only way I'm saved is by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul said, hey, I have nothing to brag in of. He said, listen, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ I cling. There's nothing good that I can do that would ever earn favor with God. There's nothing I can do but simply trust and call out on the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me. Paul knew how he was saved. Titus 3 said it's not of works that we had done. Hey, but he talked about how it's of the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. In Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5, he said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He knew how he was saved. You know, I was thinking about that old song. It's an old song that says, when I could not go to where he was, thank God he came to me. David, the psalmist in Psalm chapter number 40, he writes, and he said he waited patiently for the Lord, and he climbed into me. And he said, watch it. He said in Psalm number 40, he said, he lifted me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he placed my feet on a rock. He didn't say, I got up out of a horrible pit, and I got up out of the miry. No, he said, he lifted me up. Are you listening to me this morning? He said, he lifted me up out of a horrible pit, and he took me up out of the miry clay, and he set me. That is a person that is dependent of someone else. He lifted me up. He brought me up. He set me on. And on the road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul, he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul didn't turn his life over. Paul didn't change. Paul just cried out, Lord, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord changed radically Saul of Tarsus that day. Changed his life. And Paul knew, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I don't know who this is for. I don't know all of your backgrounds, and I don't need to. But there's a God in heaven that knows every thought and every intent of your heart. And He knows where you're coming from, and He knows what's going on in your mind. And let me just help you this morning, that if you think you're all right, and you think you and God's got a good thing going and everything's okay between you and God, because of something you've done, you better do like Paul and say, I count it all but loss and trust Christ. It's by the grace of God. You say, well, preacher, I'm an American. I'm this. I'm a Southern. I'm American by birth and Southern by the grace of God. That's fine. You can be American by birth, Southern by the grace of God, and die and go to hell. It doesn't matter if you're an American, an African, a Russian, an Egyptian, an Australian, a Canadian, a Brazilian. It doesn't matter who you are. Nobody's going to heaven but by the grace of God. You say, preacher, what is grace? Grace is that which affords joy and pleasure and delight and sweetness and charm. Grace is loving kindness. Grace is God's goodwill and His favor toward man. Grace is a gift. Grace is how God saves us. Grace is how God keeps us. Grace is how God strengthens us. Grace is how God increases our faith. Grace is how God increases our knowledge of Him. Grace is how God increases our affection towards Him. Grace is how He kindles us and exercises us in our Christian virtues. Grace, my friend, someone said, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, can I say it like this? Grace is unmerited favor. In other words, you didn't do anything to deserve the gift of God. Grace is something that God gave you, not because of you, but in spite of you. Grace, somebody said, grace is something for nothing. I want to go one step further. Grace is everything for nothing. You haven't done one cotton picking anything to deserve God's goodness. You say, well, preacher, you know my family, you know my church, you know my... It doesn't matter. All that matters is, do you know Jesus? Grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. He knew what he had been. He knew how he had been saved. And let me say this. He knew when he was saved. You may not sit here this morning. You may not go back in your mind and pick out the exact date, June 11th, 1967. You may not pick out the exact date, January the 4th, 1953. You may not know the exact date. But if you've ever experienced the grace of God in saving fashion, you know where you was. You know when it happened. You may not be able to pinpoint the time, the hour, the exact date, but you know where you were when God moved in. You say, preacher, I think I'm saved, but I just don't remember it happening. Good chance you're not saved. Say, preacher, why? Hey, because if somebody as big as God moves in you, you're going to know about it. The Bible likens our salvation to being resurrected from the dead. He said, you have the quickened who were dead in sin. You're going to tell me that God resurrected you, brought you out of spiritual death, and you don't remember it happening? Paul knew when he was saved. If you study his life, in Acts chapter number 9, we have the account of how he met the Lord that day on the road to Damascus. And all through his life, everywhere he went, hey, Paul preached that gospel. He preached what happened. He preached and told it to him. In Acts chapter number 22, he stands before a group of people and he takes men and brethren and he goes back to what happened in Acts chapter number 9. He says, that's the day I got saved. That's the day my worldview got changed. That's the way I was radically changed and transformed. See, up until Acts 9, Paul was a lawkeeper. Paul was a Jewish custom man. Paul was all about Judaism. But on the road to Damascus, he met a man named Jesus, and he found out that salvation wasn't in a list of rules, but salvation was in trusting the risen Savior. And from that day on, his life was different than it had been before that day. On that day, he was on his way to persecute the church, to kill the church, to throw them in jail. But after he met the Lord that day, my friend, on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus and had an experience of grace. And on the road to Damascus, his life was changed in such a way that the people that he wanted to persecute, later on that day, he wanted to hang around them. They were scared of him because they knew who he was. But hey, he said, listen, I'm different. He had to have some witnesses. He had to have some help come along. Oh, Barnabas and some others. Hey, but Paul, from that day forward, he was found in fellowship with the church. He knew when. In Acts 22, he told the story. In Acts 26, he stood before the governor and he told the same story. He's going back to Acts 9. He's saying, back yonder on the road to Damascus, that's where I met the Lord. I don't know, your story may be you was on a school bus. It may be that you was in a downstairs of a church. It may be you was in a Sunday school room. It may be that you was around an old-fashioned altar. It may be that you was in your bedroom by your bed. It may be you was going down the road in a car. It may be in a hospital bed. I don't know where your story happened. I don't know where you met the Lord. But honey, if it happened, you know good and well that it's happened. By the grace of God, he said, I am what I am. He said, the grace was bestowed upon me. It was not in vain. He knew when he was saved. Let me say this. He knew what he was after he had been saved. I like the old song that says that I'm not the man I used to be. Mama, you can sleep tonight, for I met Jesus, and now everything's all right. Can I say, just being saved doesn't make you perfect, but it makes you different? To say that you're saved and still live a life of habitual sin as you did before you trusted Christ, hey, that is not at all what the Bible teaches. I understand that when we're saved, it's a process. I understand it's a period of growth. I understand it takes time, and some people grow at faster rates than others. But can I say that everybody that is saved is a new creature, or they're not saved? Therefore, if any man, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You say, preacher, what is all things? All things. If you've never been made new, if you've never had a time in life where your life was changed from the inside out, see, before he got saved, he was trying to change it on the outside. But when he got saved, Christ changed him on the inside and then expressed it on the outside. A lot of people get this mixed up. They think, I've got to do this and I've got to do that for God to accept me. No, no, no. All you've got to do is trust the gift that He's already given. And when you trust and receive Christ, He's going to change your inside. He's going to change your heart. And it's going to be manifest. You can't help it but showing it. Ephesians 2:10, after He said we're saved by grace through faith, in 2:10 He said we are created in Christ Jesus. He said unto good works, we're to go unto good works. It's a lifestyle that will be manifested in the life of a true believer. Paul said in Romans 5:20, He said where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Titus 2. In verse number 11, the Bible says, for the grace of God, that unmerited favor, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us the same salvation that saves us and shows us and makes us a new creature. Watch it now. He said that same salvation that brings salvation, He said it's teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly and godly and righteously in this present world. The same grace that saved you. The same grace that come where you were and when you couldn't get up to God. The same grace that came down there in that horrible miry pit and picked you up. Once He put you on that rock, the Bible says, David said in Psalm 40, He said, He established my going. In other words, He helped me. He points me in the right direction. He teaches me. Grace that saves is grace that sanctifies. Grace that saves and changes the life. It's a grace that will teach you and help you to live your life for the glory of God. The person that prays a prayer and says they trust Christ but goes out of the church and never darkens the door again, never has a desire for the Word of God, never comes back to church, never wants to please God, never has that desire, something does not add up in that profession. You say, well, preacher, we had 13 people said the prayer. Hey, let me say this, a prayer has never saved anyone. Preacher, I thought the sinner's prayer. You won't find that sinner's prayer in the Bible. The kind of sinner prayer you'll have in the Bible is, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I mean, salvation is when you see yourself so lost and you see God so good and you say, God, I can't do it my way. I've got to have you. I'm reminded of that old song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton wrote that song. They say that in his older age, his mind began to wander, he began to dwindle. But he made a statement, something like this. They said they would come and talk to him. And he made a statement, something like this. He said, I don't remember a lot of things. He said, I can't remember a lot. But he said, this one thing I do know. He said, I am a great sinner. And He is a great Savior. He knew what he was after. Paul knew there had been a change. He's an old Negro spiritualist. He says, I know I've been changed because the angels in heaven done wrote my name. I don't know about all the theology behind it. But I can promise you this, if your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've been changed. You may not be perfect. You may be a work in progress. The old song, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, such and such, but He's still working on me. We're a work in progress, but honey, we are a work. You understand, you don't just say a prayer, go out of church, now everything's okay. Praying a prayer is like reaching out to receive that gift. You're calling on the name of the Lord and you're receiving that gift. And once you get that gift, man, that gift goes to work in your life. And that grace that saves you, it begins to change you. And grace. And Paul said, I am what I am. He didn't say, I am what I used to be. No, he said, I am what I am. You say, what am I? He said, I am a new creature. He said, I have been called, I have been converted, I have been made more than a conqueror. You know, there's a lot of people in our churches, and they're using grace as an excuse to live in sin. Well, we're not saved by works, preacher. We're saved by grace, so I can live like I want to. You just showed me a good evidence that you never experienced grace. You don't use God's grace for an excuse to live in sin. That's called lasciviousness. That's called antinomian. That is using the grace of God and receiving it in vain. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 6, he said, I beseech you that you have received not the grace of God in vain. Grace doesn't judge and criticize, but grace experiences a life of righteousness. Grace brings us to a life of holiness. It realizes that our righteousness cannot save us, but God saves us. And when He saves us and puts us on a pathway of holiness and righteousness. Do not belittle the grace of God. One of the greatest damages, Paul said in Romans chapter 6, hey, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Romans chapter number 6. Some people think that, hey, where grace did abound, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So the more I sin, the more God's grace is evident. That is craziness. Where God's grace abounds, sin is eradicated. Came to change us. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Let me hurry along. Paul knew that by grace he worked. It was grace was the reason that he served God. There's a lot of people talking about what they do. Paul realized in this verse, he said, the grace that he bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Can I say that if you do anything for God, it's not what you're doing, it's what He's doing through you. If you sing in the choir, it's not you, it's Christ in you. If you knock on doors and visit and draw people and invite people to church, it's not you, it's Him allowing you. He's giving you the grace to do so. If you teach a Sunday school class, don't brag on how good you teach. Brag on Him letting you teach. If you preach a message, don't think you're some higher than anybody else and so holier than all and you're so great. Look up in here. It's only by the good grace of God that all of us aren't in hell frying like bacon this morning. He knew it was grace that allowed him to work and empowered him to work. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Not I, he said, I labored more than thou. But the grace which was with me. There's a lot of pride in our churches. We wonder why we don't have revival. We wonder why we don't see God move. We wonder why we don't see the fires burning, a revival like we used to. I'll tell you why. Because it happened one time and everybody took credit for it. God said He would share His glory with none other. God hates pride. Pride got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. Pride has hindered a lot of churches. Pride has sidelined a lot of preachers. By the grace of God, I didn't deserve it. Hey, I didn't just get something for nothing, but I got everything that I am, everything that I do, everything that I could ever be is all because of the good grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. You don't deserve it because you're white. You don't deserve it because you grew up in a certain southern culture. You don't deserve it because of your family's last name. You don't deserve anything but to be in hell this morning. Do you understand that? The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's by the good grace of God that we're here this morning. It's the good grace of God that allowed you to wake up, hey, in a free country. It's the good grace of God that allowed you to go to a Bible preaching church. It's the good grace of God you got a family that loves you. It's the good grace of God you got a church to go to and worship and sing and give and listen to the preacher. It's the good grace of God. And that's all that it is. That I am what I am by the grace of God. He knew that grace was why he worked, but watch this. Grace was his motivation. But he knew that it was grace that gave the results. He knew that, hey, we could talk about Paul. You hear preachers talk about Paul. He's the greatest preacher outside of the Lord Jesus that ever walked. But Paul knew that he could not do it alone. Watch verse 11. He said, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe. In 1 Corinthians 3, he talked about how he said, I planted Apollos' water, but God gave the increase. He said, listen, I can preach. He said, you can preach. Others can preach. He said, but the point is that they believe. And he said, that is by the good grace of God. Doesn't matter who preached, it matters that they believe. It's God's grace that gives the results. God's grace gets the job done. Can I say to you, don't think that God's got ahead of you. Did you ever understand and think about and comprehend that God does not need you in order for Him to be God? If that's the case and you think He's just got ahead of you, what do you think He did before you came around? I've heard a lot of preachers talking, listening to people talking, say, well, if I don't preach, nobody's going to... No, if you don't preach, God's going to raise up somebody. When Moses died, God had Joshua. If Travis Howard drops off the scene right now, God's got another man that can step in and get the job done. It's not a man, it's the grace of God. Grace. His grace. He said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said His grace is sufficient. I'm talking this morning to a group of people that are a lot like I. You've been blessed. You've grew up in a nice culture. It's very comfortable. You've grown up around the things of God, around the Word of God. You've had the same somewhat likewise experiences that this preacher has had. But the question I have this morning is, have you ever experienced the saving grace of God? Have you ever had a road to Damascus experience? No, maybe you weren't on the road to Damascus per se, but you were on your road to Damascus. You were on the way to living life your way, and you came face to face with the risen Savior. And you had to decide at that moment, what will I do with the Savior, and what will I do with my sin? And Paul wrote over there in Acts chapter number 20, and in verse number 20, he told them, Ephesians, he said, how I kept back nothing that was profitable for you, but he said, I've showed you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So the question this morning is, have you ever had an experience of grace where you met God and you realize, like John Newton said, you're a great sinner, but He's a great Savior? Have you ever been willing to repent of your sin and to trust Jesus Christ? I'm not asking if you're perfect. I'm not asking if you've done all these good deeds. I'm asking you, have you ever trusted Christ? Him alone. Can you say, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand? Do you know the grace of God? Unmerited. Unearned. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not what I used to be. I may not be what I'm going to be yet, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm a work in progress, preacher, but I know there was a time, there was a place. I may not know the exact second, I may not know the exact date of the day, but I do know. I remember I was over at such and such. I remember where I was somewhere. Yeah, I remember something about it. I remember that I called on the name of the Lord. I remember, and from that point on, I've been changed. I've been different because of the grace of God. The grace that saves you is the grace that changes you. And the grace that changes you is the grace that keeps you. And the grace that keeps you is the grace that one day will carry you home. Have you ever had an experience with the grace of God? Can you say, like the Apostle Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning. God, speak to hearts and lives. God, I pray you'd help Christians to repent and to get on the altar and throw away their pride. God, I pray you'd help lost sinners to repent of their sin and to trust Jesus Christ. God, I pray that your grace would not be received in vain today. God, have your will and way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed.